You're listening to the Mission 6-8 podcast. For more info, visit mission68.org.
Hey. Well, I'm excited. We're not going to Fiji, personally. I'm heading to Africa this summer. I'll be there in June, and Fiji's on the list for sure. Definitely want to check it out. I want to encourage you, really, to explore these options, to hop online, or even to head over there today. That's even better than a website, to make this happen. And you really don't have very many excuses. Many of you can't go for some reasons, but most of you, all of you, actually, do need to take part in this. And I'm going to tell you why I can say something like that. There's a few of you that have valid reasons why you can't go, and we absolutely love you, and you're welcome here. But let me show you 25 high school students who made no excuses and have signed up to go with me and five adults to Africa this summer. So I have 25 high school students here, five leaders, and then Carl's wife on the far right. And there are 14-year-old girls who have signed up to go for 2 weeks through their summer to Africa, to a place they've never been. 14-year-old boys and girls, and some of them are 17 and 18. But when you got your list out and you've got all the reasons why you can't go or shouldn't go, I just want to remind you that a 14-year-old girl said yes to the call of God, and then you just wrestle with that, okay? So, all right, so I'm stoked. I have an amazing high school ministry. I get to oversee student ministries, but I get to hang out with high school every week, and so if you're a high school student, check it out. It's the next hour. There's a guy over there that's a way better speaker than I am. And so go check that out. But that's them. So if you see any of these guys, give them a high five and a hug if you know them. Otherwise, it's creepy. All right. So let's jump right in to Colossians. We're going to be continuing this series. I love this series, man. We'll be in Colossians 3. Today's message, it covers six verses that are pretty heavy. Pretty difficult verses for us to really wrestle with. The first two chapters of Colossians are imperative for you to understand before you jump into Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 through 11. That's where we're going to be. If you don't understand and embrace and identify yourself with the truth found in Colossians 1 and 2, then please don't try what I'm about to tell you to do. It is imperative that Colossians 1 and 2 are true about you before you can jump into 3. And here's what I mean. Colossians 2:20, Mark talked about this last week a little bit. He said it starts with, since you died with Christ. And then chapter 3, verse 1 says, since then you have been raised with Christ. All that theology, all that truth has to be true about you before this next step can be taken. And I know Mark covered that a little bit last week, but the theology has to come before the ethics. Otherwise, we're dabbling in legalism. If you try to do what we're going to talk about today without the saving work of Christ in your life, without dying with him and being raised to new life, then today is going to look like another list of things that you've got to do to earn favor with God. And that is not the case. All right, so today we're going to talk about some tough stuff, but you've got to come with the understanding that this is impossible without Christ. It's impossible. You might know some really nice non-religious people, but this stuff is impossible without the regenerative work of Christ, without dying. That's the picture of baptism. Without literally in your soul just dying to the world and its ways and coming up out of the water, a new man or woman saying, I now am identified with the blood of Christ. It's the blood of Christ that lets me approach the throne of grace. It's nothing else. I'm not special in the things that I've done. So, all right, so I'm harping on this a little bit because today you could walk out of here with more stuff on your back. You'll walk out of here and go, now I've got to go and say no to all these things I keep saying yes to. And the only way it's possible is if Colossians 1 and 2 have happened for you. If that is something that Christ has done in your life, if he hasn't, stay there. Take notes for today. Come back to them when you're ready for this because this is some tough stuff. So Colossians 3, what a cheerful morning we're going to have. It is, man. This is good news. And the good news is it's actually possible, despite what you've heard and maybe experienced. Verse 5. Here we go. Put to death. I saw the light. Man, we started this morning. Funny, huh? Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, the old you. And then he lists some: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is the idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. And there's sort of a secondary list here. These are, some of us can identify here, anger, rage, malice, that's wanting to hurt people, slander, that's using your words to do that, and filthy language from your lips. The Apostle Paul, the ex-murderer, who met Christ and then stopped doing these things for the most part, wrestled though. In Romans 7, he goes, I want to. There's something in me that wants to keep doing all this garbage, but I want to. I keep pressing, and I keep wanting to do the right thing, but I keep doing the wrong thing. And he's got this tension he lives in where he, 2,000 years ago, not much has changed. He lived in a culture that championed and loved all these things. I mean, look at this list and then hop on 90% of news websites or gossip magazines, and these are great things according to them. Oh, this is headline news. Sexual immorality, can we think of anybody? Impurity, lust, greed. We live in a world, in a culture, especially in the U.S., that champions these things. We live in a place that these things are to be applauded and strove after, I don't know, to go after these things. I went to ASU. What? We won an award that year for being the greatest party school in the country. I studied religious studies there. I'm in a tense environment, man. And I'm there, and I'm in a culture, and I'm a college student who lived in a culture, and when I was a sophomore or junior, somewhere in there, this news came out that girls had gone wild, and for a t-shirt, for a bumper sticker or whatever, they're willing to expose it all. They're willing to go for it, and they're willing to sell themselves, and the videos are going crazy, and this dirtbag's becoming a millionaire on the backs of these young girls who have bought into the lie that this is good and to be achieved and to be wanted. And that is just one example. We live in a culture where there's TV shows that just, you know, I'm not that guy that comes up here and tries to smash all the good TV, but there are so many agendas interwoven into all the shows that we watch that even just this week I had to just say no to one. Won't list it because I don't want enemies in the room, but I just had to say, man, there's a whole lot of good to this, but there's something about this that makes me feel like I'm dishonoring my wife. So I'm not going to watch this anymore. I just can't do that because I've got to put these things to death. And we live in a culture where it's just wicked, and it's getting darker. Does it feel like that? Like what wasn't okay 50 years ago? And Mark talked about that last year, the top 10 songs. Like those top 10 songs from when he was in high school in the 50s versus like the ones that were... Look it up. Versus the ones that were, you know, last week. He's coming to the noon service. I won't use that. It's crazy what's going on out there, and it's crazy that we're hearing about 11-year-old girls on this stage, but I'll tell you about some 12-year-old girls in Chandler and Gilbert and Mesa that are wrestling through the same things because they've bought into a culture that says, this is good and this is right, and Paul says, nope, kill it. Put it to death. If Colossians 1 and 2 are true about you, then God's primary agenda in your life today is holiness. His primary agenda in my life is to make me holy. Is secondary is that I would do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. Those will be byproducts of the thing that God is striving for in me. It is to kill as much of me as he can kill. And to kill the things in me that champion those things still. Verse 7 said, since then, you used to do these things. And I read that and went, some of those I still do. I still find myself doing those things. And I think a few of you might agree that there's some of these things that, yeah, 1 and 2 are true, but we're still doing these things. And I love the language he used. He says, put to death. And that's going to be the direction for the morning. That's got to be the slang, the vernacular that we use. If we don't have that approach, if we don't have the put to death approach to our sins and like the inherent violence that comes with that, the hatred. You can't put anything to death by like avoiding it, minus like a goldfish. You can't put anything to death by just simply abstaining from it or shunning it. I'm gonna shun you. You can't put things to death by just simply ignoring them or by simply just saying no to them. There's
there's some action happening here. By putting something to death, it takes an appropriate response is to murder this thing. And I don't know if you've had that approach in your life and the things that you would say you still wrestle with. And I don't know what it's like for you. I became a Christian when I was 21 years old. I walked through the doors at Cornerstone Church in Chandler, absolute mess, hung over the first day, and I've shared this with you before. It was easy for me to go through this list and go, oh, yeah, I like those things. Oh, yeah, big time. Like, those are my things. And I walked through the door to the college ministry, and I could just be honest and upfront and just say, that's my stuff. I go to ASU. You know, I could walk into the room and go, these things are me. I'm curious about Jesus. Can you tell me some more? And I spent a year being honest saying, I'm this guy, but I want this. I want this. I don't know if that's as easy for you though. Maybe you've grown up in the church and this is gonna be really difficult for you because maybe you grew up and you never had that opportunity to be just vulgar and honest and just say, I am this. I struggle with this. And you've had to like portray this image. Maybe you're like the good church kid growing up and you've never had the opportunity to just be honest. So this was easy for me. From the start, I could just go, I'm an angry person. I lust. I'm a bad person. Is he hanging out with our kids? Yes, because Colossians 1 and 2 are true about me. If we don't have an appropriate response, you will keep your sin with you. 1 and 2 may be true, but you will never kill it. If your appropriate response is just to sort of pamper it or to put something over the top of it, you'll always have it. I'm sorry. That's really bad news. In 2003, I was at Cornerstone. I worked there for 7 years, and there was this girl I liked at the very end of the hallway, and she was in a room, and I saw a tricycle, and I was like, oh, tricycle, cool. 21, 22 years old, 23, something like that. I grabbed the tricycle, and I do what a grown man should do. I pedal it, and I'm starting to do this, and I'm just blazing down this hallway. Nobody's watching. And I was really enjoying myself. And I'm starting to go through the doors and the handlebars sort of tweak and they won't turn. So I'm heading right at this like middle piece of the door that's separating two other doors. And I'm like, uh-oh. So I twist and nothing happens. Ha! And so I dive off this thing and my fingers get caught. This finger right here, the third metacarpal, I'll learn later. This gets caught on the door and goes like that. Immediately I'm sweating, like, which might not be a surprise to you. But like immediately I'm sweating and hurting bad, and I hit the ground. I just lay there, and the tricycle's next to me, and the girls can see me, and I'm like, oh! We get into the room, and some girls are in there going, oh my gosh, what happened? It's like a girls' Bible study, and here I am. Oh! And I get to this girl's house later on, and she lives with her parents, and we're just hanging out, and I'm still sweating and hurting. And what I didn't know was that my bone had been like this, but I had actually made it go like this. So in my hand, I had shattered my bone, and it's like this. It's just destroyed. But I didn't know that, and so I was like, you know what? Maybe something's dislocated. Maybe something, I just need to push it back in. So I went like this. And I hit the ground. And then her mom comes over, and she's like, you're okay, sweetie. Just put some ice on it. I'd fractured my third metacarpal. I didn't need ice. I needed surgery. And I think a lot of us are just putting, there's an example. We're just putting ice. We're just trying to numb the sin in our life. Maybe you live in Arizona, and so you know what it's like to have a front yard or a backyard that are owned by weeds. I mean, is anyone else like best friends with your HOA person? They just know you? What a sweet job. Riding a bike around, pointing out other people's weeds. Sorry. Ryan G at mission68.org, I'm sorry. The tendency that we have is when we see our backyard with the grass with weeds on it, is to not go out there and actually do what we know we need to do to those weeds. We know we should walk over to the weed and we should reach down to the very bottom of this thing. Maybe you need a glove to reach down to the bottom part and to pull in a certain way that pulls the roots out. What I'm tempted to do very often is get the lawnmower. And if there's a field of weeds and some grass too, if you mow that, it looks like grass. It looks nice. No, you know this. You just want to like really quickly just sort of scrape the top. And what happens? What happens every single time? I mean, if you come over to my house right now, I promise you this, if you go out my back door, it's embarrassing because I just haven't done the hard work of pulling the weeds. If you hook a left and go around to the side of the house that nobody goes to, you might think I have trees. You're going to look and go, what kind of plant is that? I'm like, I don't know. I have let them, some of them, grow so deep that they're not coming out. I have to pull trees out. If you aren't in the habit of constantly pulling the weeds in your life, then those things grow. And if you aren't in the habit of constantly putting to death the sin that manifests itself in your life, then chances are that in your chair right now, maybe the person next to you doesn't know, but you've got trees. You've got huge, deep roots in some things that you should have pulled that out right away. But that thing has got roots deep. And it's, if you're honest today, there's some people in the room that are thinking, this thing's choking me. I should have killed this so early on. And now you're going to need some friends to come around you and help you pull that thing out. You can't keep mowing over these things and experience the kind of life that Colossians 1 and 2 promises. So today is about pulling weeds. Next week, Mark's going to come back and tell you what to plant in their place. But today, we've got to pull some things out of the ground before we can experience the next chapter here, the next portion of Scripture. But I know this. I've been a pastor here for almost 2 years now, and this is my 10th year of ministry. And I know this about myself and about the people that we shepherd, that especially in student ministries, it starts with just sort of flirting with sin. It starts with the question that I get pretty often as a high school pastor, how far is too far? And that is typically in the context of dating, boy and a girl like each other, and they want to know, at what point does God get angry? At what point does God say, too far, everything else is okay? And it's the wrong question. Because it starts with flirting, and I know this is true about everything else that's wicked in the world, it becomes a gateway into something much deeper and much more severe. And there's so many of you right now that are going, mm-hmm. And there's maybe one or two of you like, huh? God bless you. But the rest of us, we know that it starts with flirting, and it starts with just saying, it's not a big deal if I give her a flirty look. I mean, I'm still married, it doesn't matter. I'm not going home with her. I can send this little email. It's not a big deal. And then you find yourself planning your schedule so that you're in a place where you can send that flirty look. And it starts with just flirting with, it's just one taste, it's just one look, it's just one touch. And it ends in you managing some deep-rooted sins. It ends with us just hiding and trying to mow over and decorate these things that have got roots in our lives. And Paul says, put it to death. Kill these things. Take violence into your approach and your sins with me. You can kill these things. And if you don't, they're going to be killing you. There's an author, John Owen, said, be killing sin, or it will be killing you. Slowly and softly, it's just going to kill you. And here's the language he uses. Verse 7, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Verse 8, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. You must rid yourself of anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language. The words rid yourself are actually the same words that are used in other places in Scripture when someone is tearing their clothes. It is a picture of, if you could picture someone on fire, what are they doing? They're not, oh, this is a bummer. Whoa, I am burning up right there. Like it's a picture of someone shredding their clothes and leaving it all behind. He's saying, rid yourself. Take your hands and take these things and move them away from you. Push them away. Rid yourself is to tear at your sin. He's saying, don't just sort of throw it away. Rid yourself. And here's the problem is you can't just simply wake up one day holy. Did this happen to you? Is there anyone in the room that you found some shortcut to holiness? When he says, put your sin to death and rid yourself, did you go, well, that seems a bit excessive? Yeah, I just prayed a sweet prayer one night, went to bed and woke up and was speaking KJV, man. I don't know what happened. Well, good morning, sweethearts. Blessed art thou in the name of the Lord Jesus. Huh. Cigarettes, no thank you. Heroin, no. I don't want any more of that. Did this happen? Nobody drifts towards holiness. Nobody accidentally finds himself there one day and they went, oh, wow, that was nice. Thanks, God. Nobody becomes the man or woman of God that God can and will make you accidentally. I drift towards sin. I drift towards compromise. I, on my own, drift towards choosing me, and that's typically sin. But God is starting to do a work in my life. He started it a long time ago, and I keep feeding it, and it's because of this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Another just practical tip, do not lie to each other. Pause. Let me tell you how freeing it is to no longer have to keep track of your lies. I mean, I know you're sitting here today and you've just got to keep track of what you said and who you said it to and how you said it and when you said it. And Paul just goes, you know what? That's got to be exhausting. Like, what if you just stopped lying? You might have to start telling the truth. What if you stopped lying? That's free. It's not in my notes. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. This old and this new. In our sinful nature, we identified with Adam. In this new nature, we are now identified in the line of Christ. There is an old and there is a new thing happening here. And here's in Romans, Paul put it this way. He says, if you live according to the flesh, the old you, the old flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. All right, so leave that up there for a second, because there's something that's happening here that's very passive and then very active. It says, if you live according to the flesh, the old way, satisfying your old desires, it doesn't end well. But if by the Spirit, you can underline by the Spirit and then circle you, because there's two things happening here. The passive agent where you and I have to go, I can't do this, is this. It is by the Spirit. You on your own cannot do these things. You cannot conquer the old desires. But if by the Spirit you passively say, I can't do this without you. I cannot beat this without you. I cannot do this. You have to be a part of this. And he's going, okay, if by the Spirit, then you put to death. You play a part. You are active. You put these things to death by the Spirit. And we have to live in that tension and understand that our part is both dependent and then very obedient. If you try to do one without the other, it's not going to work out for you. Like if you try to be really passive and just go, you know what, it says it by the Spirit, so you got this. And there's a phrase going around, and I hate to crush phrases because a lot of times there's really good parts of them, but this one's got to die. There's a phrase going around that says something like, just let go and let God. And man, when you say that, it sounds so good, except it's missing a piece. It says, just let go and let God, and that's very true. I love the picture of just giving up control, but there's two parts here. If you just let go and you just let God, then that seems a bit passive, because there's a part of my sin that I'm supposed to be killing. I'm supposed to be a murderer of my sin. So that doesn't really work out for me. But you can also be too active. You can just run out ahead of Jesus and go, I don't need you, I got this, I can do this. You can be very, very active in your faith and leave God behind. You can forget that the words by the Spirit are imperative. You cannot do this on your own. And so you can get very active and try to do a list of things that are bettering yourself, but then you just become quickly legalistic and you lose the saving power of Christ. There's a tension here. It is this passive, I can't do this, and then hearing him say, I can, and I'm in you, so you can do this. Put these things to death, these misdeeds of your body, and you're gonna live. You can't be too passive or too active. You can't kill sin. There is no death of sin without the death of Christ. But you have to lean into him. And so let's go back. Let's go back to Colossians, and I want to point something out here again. Because of these, these in verse 6, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all these things. And then he lists them. Let's just hang out here for a second. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. These are a bunch of things that are natural defensive mechanisms that on our own we find ourselves championing. We want people to respect us. We want what's fair for us. And when you step into a relationship with Christ, those things become secondary if they're on the map at all. You begin to see other people not as enemies, but as people to approach in the name and grace of Christ. And Paul says, don't try to do these things on your own. In fact, he says the phrases in the Pauline letters, approximately 185 times you can find either in Christ, which is about 165 times. Paul says in Christ throughout his letters. He just keeps saying in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And about 20 times he says by the Spirit, which is really the same thing. Paul says over and over and over again, if you try to stop being angry on your own, go down to Barnes & Noble and find a sweet self-help book that has nothing to do with me, good luck. Because Paul just keeps saying, in Christ, these things are possible. In Christ is your hope of glory. In Christ, it starts with a new heart. It has to start there. Earlier in Colossians, we saw that you and I, we have been transferred from darkness into light. That you and I, we have been, according to John, born again. There was this mysterious conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. And Jesus just says to him, you want to do this? Well, you've got to be born again. And he goes, well, I don't think my mom's going to be cool with that. Like, and I think most of ours would say the same thing. Like, no, that's not a good idea. And he goes, no. You're going to die, and I'm going to bring you back to life. You're going to conquer these things through your new self, and I'm going to give you some new desires. That's the key. This dying, this self-dying that's got to take place has got to be coupled with new desires. If you just check off the list and I just say to you today, hey, no more porn, don't do it, you're sunk. But if I say to you, no more porn, let me tell you about what a healthy sexual lifestyle can look like. Let me tell you about my marriage. Let me tell you about... If I give you something to strive for, something better, a better desire, we're going to kill these things, but only because Christ is going, I've got something so much better. I've got such a better life. I made you. I know how you work. These things are so much better. But if it's just no, which is good in and of itself, there has to be this constant saying of no to these things in our life. We've got to say even no before they start. We've got to learn the habit of just saying nope, here it comes again, nope. But there's got to be a because I'm going after this. It's the reason that an Olympic athlete that wants a gold medal drives by the golden arches, all right? You don't stop at McDonald's if you're striving for a gold medal, maybe once, like a year. Probably never McDonald's. But you say no to these things because you're saying, there's something better coming my way. I don't want those things as much as I want these things. Can we just be a safe place to say that despite Colossians 1 and 2 being true in our lives, some of us still want the things on this list? Don't brag on that. Don't be proud of that. But coming to terms with the fact that I want something so much more, and I've got to declare war on those desires because they're going to kill me. And what I know about this is this won't happen easily, and I want to just use an example that I'm treading lightly as I do, but every single week, today actually, you have the opportunity to write down prayer requests. And then every single Thursday, or earlier, a lot of us, we pray through everything you put on your cards. And so whether we're meeting with you or talking with you, we know what's going on in your seats if you're telling us there or by other means. And every week, our prayer requests are dominated by cancer. In this crowd, this is something that a lot of people are wrestling with. And there's a lot of victory, but there's been some defeat in our place, and we have prayed hard for people. And many of you are wrestling with this or are sitting next to someone who is or are related to someone that is, and we're going to get your card today. But we know something about most of the people wrestling with cancer is when you hear that word, your first thought is going to quickly become, well, I have to do chemotherapy. I have to undergo the treatment of chemotherapy. I have to. And what you're saying is that you are going to ingest into your body a poison that is going to go after certain cells to kill them. And we watch the effects of that, the physical effects of that, this invasive drug that's going after something that is going to kill you. And you say yes to that, and you put violence on your body, and you suffer tremendously. And you say yes to that because you know that something inside of you has to die, that this has to be killed, that these cells can't stay there. And so when we have people that are wrestling with cancer, they're wrestling through chemotherapy most of the time. They say yes to that, and it hurts so bad, and we pray that it wouldn't hurt. And I think of that, and I think of cancer and how devastating it is, and my priorities and the way that I see the world and where cancer is on the map versus sin. Cancer has the potential to kill your body. The sin has the potential to kill everything. Everything. And if we saw our sin the way that God sees our sin, then we would do everything possible to kill it. We would take on any treatment, any advice, anything God said. If we knew the damage it was doing and the roots that were growing, we would do anything we could to rid ourselves of it. We wouldn't cuddle with it. We wouldn't flirt with it. We wouldn't get as much of it as we can. We would kill it. We would say, I need to kill this sin. And there's just a few simple, real practical ways, especially if you're new, you need to hear this. You can't experience the grace and life that God calls you to if this is not a regular part of your diet. You simply cannot. And this isn't meant to convict you. This is meant to point you towards life. That God says, my word is sharper than any two-edged sword. I can cut into the deepest parts of you. And if this isn't a part of your life, this is so simple. This is so simple. I was radically converted to Christianity and Christ, and I just wanted to devour this thing. And God met me in this place, in these sacred moments at my house, and he just continues to do so. If the Bible isn't a part of your life, then you're probably losing this battle. You can have all the greatest advice and greatest blogs and greatest tweets and greatest whatever, greatest sermons. If this isn't a part of your diet, you're probably hurting. If you're not known, if people don't know you, at least a few people don't really know you, you're probably struggling. You're probably here today going, I can't kill this. And this is a tree in my backyard and I just can't pull this thing out. And you're right. If you don't have people around you that are praying for you, you're probably struggling. You're probably hurting pretty bad. If you don't have a community where it's just safe to be you, then you probably have some things you're hiding. You're probably mowing over some things. The lawn might look nice, but there's some things below the surface. If you're here today and you have no self-control, there's a good chance that you have some habits that have developed over the years, and you need to replace those habits with some spiritual disciplines. And God can meet you in those and work through you. I promise. If Colossians 1 and 2 aren't true, then I just gave you a really tough list and a whole lot more things to carry. But Jesus' words are, come to me if you're beat down, broken, tired, and weary, because I will take that off your back and carry it for you. My yoke on your shoulders is light. You're carrying something very heavy. And Jesus goes, you don't need to carry that anymore. I want to take that from you. And I just got to just imagine in this room today, and there's 4,000 of us. I can't imagine how many of you are struggling with something right now and you just want to let it go. Maybe you're struggling today I just want to ask, where are you running? Where are you going to? Is it to Christ or is it to hide? Is it to your community or is it to be by yourself? Maybe you're struggling today, and here, let's just get really practical for a second. We've only got a couple more minutes. Maybe you just need to get drastic. Maybe you just need to murder some things. It's a lot harder to kill sin than sinners. We need to actually go after our sin and say, I'm going to kill you. Maybe today when you go home, you need to move your computer into the family room. Maybe today on your iPhone, you need to delete a couple apps. Maybe you are wrapped up in a life of drugs, and I know that this is a place where people come and still have this life over here. Right now, during the next song, go to the bathroom if you need to. Delete your drug dealer's contact. Just delete it. Like, who's doing that? Someone's real nervous. If you're a drug dealer, please stop answering your phone. Like, you just need to just absolutely do something. If you've got to smash something or cancel the subscription, do it. If you have a computer and you don't want to move it into the family room, let me tell you about a website called xxxchurch.org or .com. You need to put a software on your computer that's going to email people anytime you look at something. And you're just starting to slowly choke this thing that's got you in a grip. You're going to kill it. It might take some time, but some of you just need to, you just need to come down here and pray after this message and learn about Celebrate Recovery on Friday nights. Bunch of big fat sinners who don't lie about it. Put that on a t-shirt. You need to hear about a community that doesn't need you to fake it. There's a prayer team down here every Sunday. You need to come down and just let them pray for you. Help you take this stuff off. Help you rid yourself of this stuff. God, you want this so bad, don't you? There's some people in this room, you just gotta want this so bad. And I just would, my heart would break for you if you get in your car and drive home and don't take whatever the next step is. That breaks our heart because you were meant to live free. Maybe you're doubting Christ today, and I just want to have you trust that the death and resurrection of Jesus is enough to kill whatever is in your life that's killing you. Just trust that the cross is enough. We love you too much to let you walk out of here unfree. And so please don't leave this place without doing business. We just love you too much. This sermon can't do it. It's going to take some work. But commit today to rid yourself, to put to death whatever it is that's choking you, and be free. I love you. Let's pray. Father, you have so much love for us, and if we pause for a moment, we can imagine and hear you cheering for us, wanting the best for us. Father, help us to rid ourselves, to take these things by your Spirit, to have the power and the courage to do what we need to do. Help us to see even the small weeds the way that you see them, and help us to pull those right away, whatever it is in our life. Just help us to be free and to not let these roots grow deep and to choke out what you're doing in our life. Thank you for making this possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to the Mission 6-8 podcast. Follow us at twitter.com/mission68 and facebook.com/mission68. Mission Community Church. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly.